Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, this is Gary Robert from Gary Robert and Community, and I'm here on Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 Rock Paper Podcast,
y'all. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Gary Robert of Gary Robert and the Community. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Shane. Yep. I want to say thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. This is came highly recommended by a friend of the show, Dan Johanning. He said he thought this would be really cool and for us to meet up, and I'm glad he did because I love discovering new music all the time. So I'm glad it worked out to where I can kind of get to know more about some of your music and your stories. And
yeah, sounds good. Yeah, Dan's a great guy, so. Yeah, I'm glad he gave you a heads up on it.
For sure, yeah. We've been Facebook friends for a little while, and I've been noticed the name, and, so it's cool to kind of like finally get to meet up, because you live, a little south, right?
Yeah, I live in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, so it's cool to kind of, we worked out where we could meet up today and record and get to hang out a little bit, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, like, how's Gary Robert and the Community get started? Where's this group come together?
Well, I've always played music, you know, ever since, you know, I was like a teenager. And it just evolved to where we're kind of going back to our roots again with the music we're playing now. And it's post-punk type music, and it's all original. And we try to keep it dark, but with some beautiful spots in it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was you sent me a few tracks to check out and some super catchy stuff, like just the between the guitar riffs and the drums and everything. It was just gets you up moving and something you can definitely tap your foot and bounce around to a little bit and have some fun with it.
Yeah, that's the idea. We do it for fun, and I play with a great group of friends. Jeff Statler's on bass, and Brandon Glenn plays drums, and Brandon and I have been together for 10 years, and Jeff has been with us for two, and awesome bass player, and so yeah, we all click. We're kind of got the same mindset, and just to basically have fun and play the music we love.
Right. So how long has this project been going then?
Gary Roberton Community's been, it's been about 6 years, and around 6 years.
Yeah,
I'd say.
I know. So we do have a couple of recordings out, but you're also working on some brand new music.
Yeah, we have, it was started out with, I wrote like 20 songs, and we narrowed it down to 10, and now we're just working them up and kind of banging out the arrangements and yeah. stuff like that.
Right.
Finally got the lyrics, you know, all got that down too, so.
You write a lot of the lyrics, or?
Yeah, I do.
Is the rest of it a pretty collaborative process, you guys, when you're arranging these songs and stuff?
For the most part, I have a pretty good idea, and like the guys, they have ideas, and we try them out, and if it, whatever works, that's the way we go.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a democracy, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do have some new music coming soon, but we want to share some songs with you today, including... Sugar Crunch, which was one of my favorites. I was like I said, it's just a fun kind of song, easy to dance to kind of thing, and I imagine probably gets the crowd moving.
It does. It seems to be kind of a crowd favorite too. It's like you said, it's a good song to kind of get you moving.
Yeah. Where is this one kind of come from? You, is this one you had around for a while, or is this?
This song was written probably about 3 years ago, and it was fairly fresh when we recorded it. That was a couple years ago. We recorded our last album. Mm-hmm. Curse of Siam, and it was just kind of just came to me, and just, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah, right. Those, they say that, like, that's some of the easiest stuff, like, or some of the, you know, most successful songs, they just happen to, like, come to you right away, and you just gotta, you know, I've listened to a lot of Howard Stern, and he has some of the, you know, my favorite songwriters on there, and it's how they all, like, seem to say that, like, oh, the song just came to me, and I wrote it down, and it, like, becomes, like, the catchiest little simple song, and then, like, that's the one everybody seems to connect to, and it's just, it's weird how it works like that, that inspiration just hits you like that.
Yeah, it seems like the easiest songs to write are usually the ones that turn out the best.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I just kind of shared the story before, but he had Neil Young on one time on there on Stern, and he was Neil was talking about, like, he was in some kind of fever or whatever, laid up in a hospital bed, and then, like, asked for, like, a notepad and just started writing, you know, didn't really, like, know what he was writing. He just all, you know, rambling on there and stuff. But when he came out of the fever, like, he analyzed what he wrote, and out of that, like, came, like, you know, all these great songs, whatever, like Cinnamon Girl and all this stuff. Like, all these, all these songs came out of that moment of inspiration, whatever, in that fever. So it was just like, you just never know when it's going to strike. You just got to kind of keep up sometimes.
Exactly. When you get out of your head, that usually helps. And always have a pen and paper handy.
Man, excuse me. So yeah, like we said, we got Sugar Crunch, and that's on the previous record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus I Am.
Yeah. Is that available on the website, or?
It is. It's available on the website, and free downloads, and also available.
Cool. Yeah. And you guys do have a date here in St. Louis. Like I said, you're based out of Cape area, Cape Girardeau, right?
Right. We usually try to play like a couple of gigs a month, usually like in the St. Louis area. We play here quite a bit.
Yeah. So you'll be here coming back up this way for in December, December 23rd at the Way Out Club.
Right.
Nice little spot over there, kind of.
Well, I love that place.
Yeah. I've been over, actually, I did a podcast over there with a group called The Winx, and we had a good time hanging out. So it's a fun space over there. So yeah, come out and see Gary and the band over there on December 23rd. Do you guys play a lot down in Cape also, or is this you pretty much like to stay in this St. Louis scene? Or
we do play in Cape some. There isn't just a whole lot of bars, and you have to bring your own PA, which is, you know, we try to stay away from that. And we do play in Memphis, too.
Okay.
And our last show down there was at the P&H. That's a pretty cool place.
Yeah. What's, is it, you know, kind of comparing the two, how do you feel, like, St. Louis compared to, like, Memphis, like, as far as the music scene and stuff, is it?
It's fairly similar, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say it's fairly similar. People turn out in Memphis. They really get party pretty crazy.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I just feel like St. Louis, we have a real cool thing going on with our, you know, we got a lot of great venues around town, a lot of, you know, new venues always popping up, and a lot of great bands, and it was just, there's, as a collective, like, as a whole city, like, I feel like we've got a lot of really cool things going on in music right now.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. There's a lot of good bands and great clubs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you were telling me that you've been playing, you know, for a long time since you were a kid and stuff. Like, so what's where did that all start? Like, was it a musical family or?
Not really. My uncle, he did play guitar, but I just kind of just fell in love with it, really, and struggled to become proficient in it, and it was just hard to stop playing, actually.
Right. It was always guitar, or where would you start playing?
Guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then when do you find out you can start writing songs? Is that also pretty early?
Well, actually, I think I wrote my first song when I was five. I was, like, sitting out on the curb of her house, and was writing this song. I think it was about a cowboy or something, you know, riding his horse. And the neighbor lady, she was like saying, I told my mom she loved to hear me sing. So I think that kind of gave me a little bit of, you know, boost. You know, yeah, you can get some attention, you know.
Right. Yeah, already realizing that you can get girls with music, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I guess so.
A little bit.
Yeah.
man, I got something going on here. So what are you, about teenager then to start putting a band together, or?
I was probably about 15. We had a group called The Outcasts, and then, you know, we had another band, Dry Water, and just been so many bands I can't even remember, yeah. You know, all the names. And so just eventually, like in the 80s, we moved to L.A. and was in a band. I created the band The Twilight Idols out there, and we did a vinyl record, Beyond Good and Evil, and played in a lot of the clubs out there. It was a cool scene.
Yeah.
It was like most of the 80s, we were out there.
Right. Kind of a similar punk sound, or?
Yeah, it was. We're right now. We're playing. Actually, we play some of the songs that I wrote back in the Twilight Idols. My wife was also in that band, but she was in that band, and she wrote some of the songs for that. But we do we play a few of those songs still today because they, you know, are fun songs.
Yeah, very cool. Well, that's cool that. You know, that you can still, like you're saying, kind of revive that sound in these songs and still make them new today. And that sound is still, it's kind of, you know, like, definitely music's kind of gone through a lot of transitions through, you know, whatever it has been, you know, disco to, you know, grunge and all the different stuff, or whatever the, you know, the new sound was and stuff. But, you know, it seems like people still love good punk music and stuff. There's always still that crowd that connects to it. Even you know, the people still, everywhere you go, people still wearing Ramones shirts and everything else, like, you know, that kind of stuff. That people still connect to these songs and these lyrics and different things like that. And you know, even whatever, 20, 30 years later and stuff. So
yeah, there's really a lot of punk bands right now,
right?
And some good ones too.
Sure. But it's cool that, yeah, like I was saying, like, I've talked to another friend too. He kind of, he's a rapper, and he's put out a bunch of different records with other groups and stuff. But his new project, he, like, instead of, like, you know, a lot of rappers sample music from, you know, different bands, 70s and 80s group or whatever, and he's been sampling all of his own music. So he's, again, kind of what you're saying, bringing it back to today. Like, he's reviving older music of his and making it something, a new piece of art.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. So so what was that like, L.A. in the 80s? That was pretty wild.
It was, yeah, it was a lot of fun. You could see a lot of bands. Like, for instance, like the Gun Club, you go to Club Lingerie, which isn't a huge venue, but you could just see bands like that and close up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is that... yeah, I don't know. I just, you see all the movies and stuff, like all the, you know, different things, like kind of talking about all those bands that were coming up and how, like, actually I just watched a pretty interesting documentary about Twisted Sister kind of coming up through the New York punk scene and, like, all the different clubs that they played and stuff. Like, it was pretty interesting to kind of get to some of their story and how they did it and stuff, and how they worked really hard doing covers before they finally, I think they did covers for like 6 years before they finally started being able to break out as an original band and stuff. Was that, is that kind of the case too in L.A.? A lot of cover stuff?
We played all original. You probably get bigger crowds if you do a lot of covers. A lot of people like covers. Mm-hmm. But even back then, I just like to do originals.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that band touring and stuff too, or did you pretty much stayed in L.A. and then?
I'm sorry?
Was that band pretty much stayed in L.A., or did you guys end up touring and stuff too?
We played mostly in LA, and we're just to the point that we're getting ready to tour, and then our drummer, he moved back to Detroit, and then it's a process of finding another drummer, you know, and went through all these different drummers, and then we found another drummer, and we started playing gigs and stuff, and then one day he just disappeared. Huh. I have no idea where he's at.
Man.
Just out of thin air, you know, he just like vanished.
Wow. Huh. That's crazy. So is that kind of the... that's got to be pretty cool, though, cutting a record and stuff, getting to do all that, and to vinyl, too, and stuff. I mean, for me, like, I'm a big vinyl enthusiast, and I imagine that's got to be one of, like, the highlights is to have a record and then open it up and, your name in the liner notes and all that, and just having your record on a shelf at the record stores and stuff back in the 80s when they still had record stores and stuff. You know, it seems there's very few of them today, and... they're kind of making a comeback.
Yeah,
People are starting to buy more records again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we recorded at Radio's Tokyo in Venice Beach, and with Ethan James, and he recorded a lot of the bands like the Minutemen, Black Flag. They were there, and Sonic Youth. They recorded there, a lot of their early stuff, Circle Jerks, and just so many bands.
Right.
And yeah, it was a really cool place to record.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, you see, like, stories of, like, Sun Studio and Nashville and all these, like, all these great studios where, like, all these people were at. Like, I just imagine there's kind of like a, there's like a spirit to the studio. There's like an energy when you walk in. Like, you just kind of feel like there's something special about this room and this studio. There's all these bands gravitated to that one spot, and so much great music came out of this one spot, and like it's kind of crazy to think about that it all worked out that way. But I just feel like there's probably gotta be something there. Like, it just kind of everybody feels comfortable there to give their best.
Yeah, I think that's it. It was an intimate type studio, but a lot of times that seems to work better. Gives you more of a, more of a surrounded sound.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking, put your picture up online and asked if anybody has some questions for you, and I was thinking of, some of the shows you might have seen, and Dan was thinking also that too. He wrote in, and Dan Johanning writes in, what are some of the best post-punk and new wave shows you've seen? So I'm sure you got to see a lot of these bands coming up
from
LA.
True, yeah. Probably one of my favorite was Large of the New Charge. That was really good.
Yeah.
And then we saw X when they just first came out, and the Minutemen, and Circle Jerks, and the Gun Club. And there were so many bands.
Right.
Pretty cool.
I think that'd be... pretty wild stuff. So, getting into how long? See, I'm guessing you still kept playing through the '90s and everything else too. And
the thing is, when we moved back to Cape, Missouri, mainly because my parents and my wife's parents, they were elderly, mm-hmm. and being the only child, I was taking one to take care of them, and then a lot of the musicians in that area, they were kind of getting out of the punk. They weren't really into the punk music around Cape.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of trying to find people to play with, really. And became a little bit disheartened, and then eventually found some guys and started playing again, and kind of got to where I am now.
Right.
Back so, where I started from.
Yeah, full circle.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. What so you were growing up in Cape, and then you moved that band to LA, is that what you're saying, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, my wife and I moved out there, and we found the drummer out there. Yeah.
But do you recommend that? I mean, is that like something? I got some friends there right now. They're taking the band. They're going to LA and going to try. I mean, obviously, it's much different music scene right now today, I think. But is that something you recommend taking the leap and going for it?
Yeah, why not? You know, it's be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of clubs to play, and you have more I'd say contacts mm-hmm. out there than you would in a lot of places.
That's got to be a big shock, culture shock, kind of like going from Cape to LA and stuff. I mean, I'm sure
it was, and even worse coming back. You know, it was like, wow, it's so dead.
Yeah. And then Cape's like it's getting pretty. It's bigger. I mean, not LA, but like you got the university down there and all that stuff. There's a lot of things, a little more going on, I imagine now.
Yeah. This was like in the early '90s, right. Now Cape is growing.
Sure,
it's a good place to live. It isn't really that far from St. Louis. We can play shows here. Go to Memphis, Nashville.
Right. Yeah, and
works out pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I was thinking, like, you know, just that whole difference. Like, how do you feel, growing up, getting started in a band compared to, like, still doing it today? Like, is that, do you still feel like, I imagine you guys are still hungry for it. Are you guys still doing this? But, I mean, I guess probably it's changed a little bit just doing it for fun instead of trying to make it as a, you know, I guess, touring and being this big rock band and stuff, like.
Right, yeah, we do it for fun, and we like to play, it would be nice to do some touring.
Mm-hmm. Is that at least you got a couple cities, but that's kind of, I feel like I talk about a lot too. Again, it's like kind of ideal being in St. Louis area, or the middle of the map here, like that we are not far from, you know, like you said, Memphis or Nashville or Kansas City or,
Chicago.
Yeah, a bunch of different, bigger markets pretty nearby. So within the, weekend, you could travel and hit a couple of different spots. And
right.
Is that something you want to do with the community? Is that...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Start getting out on the road a little more?
Yeah, play places like in Nashville, St. Louis and Memphis and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Basically kind of that in that area for right now.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be cool to get out there, do a little more touring, and spread the name around, get people knowing all about all over the Midwest here.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of fun playing in front of the crowds and doing your thing.
Right. Yeah, especially, I imagine that would be cool, like, just get out there, especially with original music, and then, like, as they, you move into a new city and they don't know you yet, or whatever it might be, and then like you play, and then all of a sudden you watch people start gathering in. You get more and more. Hey, this sounds good. And like as the crowd continues to get closer to the stage and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's interesting to see what people like and how they react to different songs.
Right. Yeah. Is that you guys keep them up dancing most of the night though? Like. It's pretty heavy, pretty upbeat and stuff.
The lyrics are kind of dark, but there is they're positive more or less, and it's upbeat. There's some of it is pretty dark, but some of it's pretty positive and upbeat. So
yeah,
it's kind of a mixture, I guess.
We want to share another way. Like, so we played Sugar Crunch. I guess more of the sort of the darker side would be that you have one called Angel of Meth.
Right,
which is kind of, unfortunately, that's something we all kind of have dealt with and things. There have been some issues there. And,
I had a friend who, got on it, hooked on it real bad, and I just saw him go downhill.
Right.
And so I just wrote this song. Basically, just kind of came out, mm-hmm. It's kind of pissed in a sense.
Talk to God, you're tired of being a stranger.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know, especially here in Missouri, I feel like there's a lot of it going on. And
Yeah, definitely.
So now maybe somebody will hear this song and, you know, and maybe make an impact on them or share with the right person that they can understand, like, hey, look, you know, this affects everybody, you know.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
But is that, do you write from a lot of personal stuff? I mean, is that something, or is it some of the more fictional stories or anything?
It's a stream of consciousness, and it's kind of like I let the lyrics come to me. I don't really try to sit down and try to make words rhyme, but I just kind of let it come to me and see if it, sometimes it takes a while to know what it's all about, but it's like, oh yeah, that's what the song's about.
Right. Yeah. I listened to, again, like Thomas Stern and some of these guys, like, there's, he had Steven Tyler of Aerosmith in, and he was kind of talking about how, like, when he writes a song, sometimes he kind of just mumbles and hums along to the melody, mm-hmm. and until he finds, like, a word that kind of fits in there, like, he kind of just makes up stuff, and then he finds the right word that actually fits in the melody to, so that's why a lot of his lyrics maybe not always make sense, because it just kind of fits in there with the song and mm-hmm. stuff. So,
a lot of it, I find, is with the vowel sounds. You get the right vowel in the right place, and then the words kind of will fit that vowel sound.
Yeah, definitely. We got one more we wanted to share, too, and this is one called Here and Now. Is this anything around this tune you want to share?
This is kind of like, you know, you're fooled so much by, you know, politics, religion, and different things, and it's kind of a song about, you know, I'm not going to be fooled again. You know, I'm going to be positive, but I'm not going to fall for that, whatever it is. It could be anything, you know, just kind of like, I'm not going to be fooled again.
Sure. Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Is it? And then that's gonna all these three appear on the previous record, right? You said
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What are we moving towards the new sound, the new record and stuff? Is there? Are we kind of staying in the same lane? With that, are you looking to tweak the sound at all? Or are we gonna or do anything different?
There's nothing preconceived except, I mean, some of the songs. It's a matter of getting the songs to fit together. That some of the songs may be do this or that don't fit with the cohesion of the other songs, and that's. But none of the songs. It's like in the post-punk genre, but they're don't sound anything like the previous album.
Right. Yeah. This is, I imagine that's a lot of it. Like trying to just get 10 songs or whatever. They kind of flow together. You know, you want something to, you know, like you're saying, have some cohesion to the record. You know, having a little bit of flow through the album where they all kind of. But it is nice sometimes to have like some different stuff too. Like I've had friends that put out records that like, you know, 10 completely different sounding songs, and some of that's kind of fun too. But you know, it's again, it's like you. I think as a general, you know, listener and stuff, I feel like people kind of want something that sort of sounds the same and like kind of has some highs and lows throughout the record, but mm-hmm. all kind of seems to flow together.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
There's a lot to. And it's something I never really thought about because I've never been an artist making music and anything, but it does seem like that's it's pretty important, just trying to find the right track listing of like listing these songs and stuff in the right order that people hear them and
yeah, stuff. It's kind of if you write a song or play a song that's really dark and sad, then you come up with some goofy song right after it, just don't you know, don't mesh right. Very good.
There's this I keep talking about it a lot today, but on Stern there was this clip that I used to play from Casey Kasem doing doing these like, you know, song dedications on the radio, and he like did a song dedication to like a somebody's like dead dog like right after like some like upbeat pop song. So he like and he like was just reading the text, you know, he didn't have it beforehand, so he's like comes out with like this, you know, hey, it's Casey Kasem, and you know, he's like, hey, we got a dedication to you know, the dead dog, and he's, and he's like, you know, and it's one of my favorite clips because he starts like yelling at the producer or whatever, the sound engineer, and he's like, you know, he's like, you gotta give me some warning that we're coming out of a, you know, a happy record into a dog dedication and stuff, and like so, but there's something about that, you know, he's like, you have to have the right mood going into it and stuff, and it's like you're saying, it can't really go from one end to the other. You know, that's some important stuff, I think, like to make sure they all rolls together. Is that what were some of the guys that kind of got you influenced into playing guitar? Was that always did you start because of some other guys, or was it always kind of the into the punk thing? And
I always liked like Jimi Hendrix, and you know, I've been around a while, so sure. I like a lot of the songs from the 60s, and you know, there's a 70s like David Bowie.
Yeah,
Iggy Pop's a big influence.
What I mean, you see guys like those guys, you know, that kind of come along throughout the years, and like any of those guys just kind of like flip it for you where you're like, man, I didn't realize you could play like that, you know. It's like you kind of get like a guy like Hendrix, like totally I felt like changed everything at the time, you know. It's like, you know, people were doing a lot of different stuff, but then all of a sudden Hendrix comes out and he's like got it cranked up, and you know, all this going on, and people are like, man, it's, you know, now we got to do that, you know, now people got to elevate and raise their game to try to do something like he's doing or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've always liked like the Stones, the Kinks, and the Animals. They were really good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I like that's all bunch of my favorite stuff. All that, you know, that's why they call it classic rock. It's all still great music, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, Kinks are kind of like, you know, they definitely were big, but I feel like they're kind of underrated. Like they're a great band and like some super catchy songs and stuff. But I don't think I don't feel like they get the credit they deserve with some of the other bands that they kind of came up with and stuff. And
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
But yeah, they A lot of good stuff. Was there any particular guy, like, you know, kind of Bowie and stuff you were saying? Like, is there any of those guys that kind of, that really got your attention, like, when, that changed it for you, though, at all?
Yeah, I like Bowie with the late 70s, like Rebel and sure. The Changes album. And then I've always been a big Stooges fan.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, that kept me pretty interested.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's, they're another wild live show too, like that's mm-hmm. Iggy running around with his shirt off and everything else, and
yeah, he's quite a character.
Yeah. Is that something you guys try to do in with the band, like with just a live show? Is that something you guys can take into consideration much, or is it you like to just let the music speak for it?
Yeah, I'm more a little bit more reserved, and I think that's why it fits into the post-punk, mm-hmm. like with Eklund the Bunnyman and The Cure. Just more of a reserved, I think that's stage presence,
right?
Is what we have.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool to watch people jump around, but after a while, it almost becomes, you know, just kind of
right
silly.
Sure, yeah. There's I just feel like you know, a lot of these guys, a lot of it's just like, you know, some bands are fine. You can sit and listen, and but like you know, sometimes even just the lights or you know, having video now and doing different stuff, like just kind of brings that whole stage production to you know, brings the show to a new level and stuff. So it's always fun to see what a band brings into their live show and things. And
yeah, exactly.
Obviously, sometimes with punk, obviously it's a little more it seems to be more minimal, you know. Everybody, obviously, it's nobody's really going in there for a big production for a punk show, but you know, it's always one of my favorite parts of going to a show to see what kind of what they bring out of it for a live setting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems like at the punk crowd, it's like just it's all about the energy and the music and stuff. They, you know, the kids just go in there and have fun and with their buddies and stuff and have a good time.
Yeah,
with the music.
Yeah, I'm really into minimalism, and it seems to like, you know, punk is definitely pretty minimal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any advice you would have for younger players or singer-songwriter people coming up that, you know, maybe some advice that you were given along the way that you pass on? Or
I would say just do it.
Yeah.
And learn from, you know, build up your humility over the time.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you got so many things that are going to happen bad, and so you just keep on, if you love it, just keep on doing it.
Yeah, that's I feel like I try to do the same thing. Even starting this show, I was like, you know, it was just something I loved, you know, music, and wanted to share as much of it as I could. And people are always like, hey, you know, I want, you know, that's cool, I want to do something like that. I'm like, go do it, you know. It's like, it's, just have fun with it, just get out and chase that dream, whatever it is. And it's like, so you know, mine happens to be about music, but if you have whatever your passion is, chase it and do it. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing you can do. So many people are just afraid of getting out and taking a chance.
Yeah, that's true.
So many people are stuck in the basement and never, you know, never even get to the stage to play the guitar and stuff or whatever it is. So
yeah, it's I heard, you know, like this, if I heard this one thing quote, if I think it was the fighter Gruber, or he would say, if your dream doesn't make you fear, your dream isn't big enough. And I think I kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think there's something there for sure. Like you know, I think a lot of it's just that fear, and like, and people. The known versus the unknown, you know, people are just, you know, they're, at least I know here I'm comfortable in this, but it's like taking that chance, you don't know what's going to happen. And, and so that's the part of the fear that keeps them back. And, mm-hmm. So yeah, but you gotta
it's kind of fun to face your fears, sure. And just, you know, then you feel like, well, I've faced them and
right
now I have a new fear.
Yeah. Right. Well, very cool. Well, you can get involved with, Gary Robert and the Community on their website, GaryRobertandTheCommunity.com. You got Facebook. You're on Facebook, there. And we'll announce some more show dates, hopefully soon, and keep an eye out. But again, we do have the December 23rd at the Way Out Club here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, we're trying to keep a little, we're working up the new songs, and then once we get that worked up, then we're going to start playing a lot more shows again.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool to get some new music, and maybe maybe we circle back around and talk about a new record.
Yeah, definitely.
When you get that already done.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Again, check out this music and like the Facebook page and come see the show. But yeah, I appreciate you doing this, Gary. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, thank you, Shane. It's appreciated. You do great service for the community. No pun intended.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm having a great time doing it, and you know, meeting all kinds of cool people like yourself around this you know, greater St. Louis area and stuff. And but yeah, it's fun, man. I love discovering new music that I always kind of felt like I knew a good idea about music, and then I started this show and I realized I didn't know anything about music. So I was like, the show has introduced me to so many people and so much new music, and it's just I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. So
yeah, great.
Cool. So I appreciate your support and doing this, man. It's been awesome. So
absolutely, thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.